Did any of you have a wristband on your babies when they were at the hospital? Or a wristband on the mother? I think that the one baby, I even had a wristband on me. They wanted to make sure I was the right guy getting that baby to be with there in the hospital. God wants you to be marked as His own. But wristbands can be cut off. These red bands could be cut off. But God wants to do something in each of us to mark us as His very own. Something that can never be cut off, something that can never be erased, something that can never be removed. Will you pray with me this morning that this truth would sink in deep into our hearts? Lord Jesus, thank You for the privilege this morning of opening Your Word together. Thank You that You give us earthly children to mark as our own and to take home to be with us and to raise in our families. But thank You even more so, Lord, that You want us to be Your children, Your heavenly children. We pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would do a deep work in us, reminding us of our inheritance in You, guaranteeing what is to come. May these truths sink in deep, Lord, to counteract all the lies of the world, the devil, even our own flesh. In Jesus' name, now we take authority over this time, this gathering, and we banish the enemy and all his distractions. And we bless this to be a place of encounter with the living Christ. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Open ears now to hear. Open spirits and souls to receive for Your glory. Amen. Well, some of these verses I've been looking at now for a couple of weeks. Last Sunday I asked Luke Edlund to preach, and by the way, he did a wonderful job. If you didn't get a chance to be here last Sunday, go ahead and look online at our webpage and you can listen to his message. And I want to thank him again for stepping in and delivering a message that was very impactful in many lives. But I wasn't sure if I'd be here or not, so we asked him to step in. And the reason I wasn't sure is because of my mother's impending death, and she did die on Thursday. Thank you for your prayers and condolences. I appreciate that. But some of these truths hit differently as I was reading them and caring for my mother, as I was reading them, thinking about how they applied to me, but how they applied to my mother. And I think there are some lessons we only learn as we look at death. In fact, one of the things I read in the last couple of weeks was an author speaking about the book of Ecclesiastes. It's an interesting book, tough book at times to figure out exactly what he means. For example, he says that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Sounds kind of morbid, sounds a little negative, a little cynical. But the message he's getting at there is that the day of death and looking forward to it can preach. It can speak. It can bring us insight. And so thinking about the fact that we all have a death day coming can prepare us for that day. We might celebrate birthdays, yes, but being ready for a death day is crucial. It is the Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. It's God the Spirit who comes in and does a work inside of us that we need to then cooperate with and celebrate. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. We continue to be in the season of Pentecost. It's the season of the pouring forth of God's Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is speaking to His followers shortly before His departure. And He says to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you've heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Jesus spoke numerous times about the coming of His Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, other descriptor names. And He is God the Spirit, equal with God the Son, equal with God the Father, three together, one God. We never want to minimize any of them, either of them. the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, then, it begins, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the Spirit came. He came in power. He came in a noticeable way. He came in an impactful way. And it changed everything. That's the birthday of the church. And now we all want to live out that reality of the Spirit having been sent, the Spirit having been received. And I want to point out three things about what the Spirit wants to do in each of us. Three ministries of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. Let's recognize, first of all, that the Holy Spirit comes to bring us the presence of God. The presence of God. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. In the Old Testament, if you look at the participles about the Holy Spirit, it's the word on. The Holy Spirit came on Saul. The Holy Spirit came on Samson. The Holy Spirit showed up, hovered on the outside, did some work, but then left. That's why in the Psalms, David could pray, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Let him continue to be on me. It was this nearness, but not as close as we needed. But as you turn to the New Testament, the participles change. It's no longer the word on, but the word in. That's a big difference. It's a big difference when God comes on versus when God comes in. And here's the promise. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Christ with us. In John chapter 14, starting at verse 16, Jesus again is encouraging his followers before his departure. And he says to them, I will ask the Father, Jesus asking the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. Jesus asks the Father, and the Father is going to send another advocate to be with you forever. Doesn't that sound great? It's not Jesus leaving and never coming back. It's Jesus saying, I'm going, and when I go, I'm going to have the Father send my Spirit, another advocate, another helper, another one who will come and live inside you and speak to you and guide you and empower you and do the work of Christ inside of you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you, will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. His name, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You can understand the disciples being sad and thinking about the departure of the Lord Jesus that they'd been with for 3 years. And they'd grown in their appreciation of who he was, coming to recognize finally that he is the Son of God and that they are needing him as their rescuer, their Savior. But as Jesus explains that he's departing, they think it's the worst thing in the world. But he says, no, it's actually for your good that I leave. If I didn't leave, then the Advocate would not come. The Spirit of Truth would not come. The Holy Spirit would not come and be in you. It was great to have Jesus beside them. It's better to have the Spirit of Jesus in them. You and I need the presence of God in our lives. And you and I are promised the presence of God in our lives. That's what Scripture teaches. You are never alone. Did you ever wear the WWJD bracelet from a few years back when they were kind of the popular thing? What would Jesus do was a saying based upon a quite famous book. What would Jesus do? But let me encourage you to move beyond thinking about what would a historical figure do and try to copy him. Let me encourage you to go a step further. Ask, what is the Spirit of Christ in me doing right now? He is not something in history. He is someone inside of me. He is present. The Spirit is present inside of us. And so every moment we can say, Holy Spirit of Christ in me, what are you doing? What are you saying? How can I cooperate with you? How can I be in sync with you? How can I be thinking your thoughts and saying your words and doing your deeds? The Spirit came at Pentecost, not just as a one-time event, but as an ongoing presence in each of our lives. In thinking about my mom these past weeks, I was remembering as a young toddler, every night she would come and pray with me, help me pray, and then we'd sing songs. One of the songs that she would lead out in is, "Come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." What a great prayer. And that's the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in us. Would you pray that prayer right now before I go on to point number two? Let's celebrate the presence of Christ. Simply pray, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Spirit of Jesus. Come into my heart, Holy Spirit. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming in." So we celebrate the Spirit's presence. Secondly, we celebrate that the Spirit comes and brings Himself to live inside of us to empower us. Presence leads to power. The power of God working in us. It says in Acts chapter 1, 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Spirit comes with power. The presence of Christ brings the empowerment of Christ, the enablement of Christ, the energy of Christ. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 1, verse 28. He's talking about his ministry. And notice how he goes from his ministry into the source of the enablement of his ministry. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. "Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." That was Paul's ministry. Preaching, proclaiming, teaching, admonishing, presenting everyone fully mature. And now how did he do that? The next verse says, "To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy of Christ so powerfully working in me." Three words all having to do with the same root word. "To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me." It's the energy of Christ, the power of Christ, the enablement of Christ in us by the Spirit of Christ that enabled Paul to do all that he did. And the same is true for you. Anything that you are able to do of lasting significance, of any kind of spiritual impact or eternal longevity, is going to be done by the Spirit of Christ working in you. So our ongoing prayer ought to be not merely, "Come into my life, Lord Jesus," but "By your Spirit, Lord Jesus, empower me and flow through me." Power of Christ, come in and flow through. So we become the channels. We receive and we give. We receive and we give. The presence of the Holy Spirit brings the power of the Holy Spirit. So we do the works of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "I preach, I admonish, I proclaim, I bring everyone to full maturity." as Christ does it through me. As He strenuously contends in us with all the energy so that His work is being accomplished in us. Have you worked at a job and it just didn't seem to be successful at all? Have you been trying to do a task and it just does not seem to be coming about and getting done and things are just not working? Have you been frustrated with your inability, your lack of strength to accomplish the task? I was marveling on Friday watching Todd Tolleson do something I knew I couldn't do. He's got these amazing arms that reach down between batteries and manifolds and tubes and wires and gets a wrench on a nut and then puts force on it. And he actually changed the starter on my van, and I thank you for that. But he was able to do something that I know I couldn't do. Even if I could get my arm in there, I wouldn't probably have enough strength to move it those 5 degrees of a free flow of the wrench. Sometimes we're not able to accomplish something. And that's good when we recognize our limitations. It causes us to say, God, only You can do it. God, pour Your power into me so I can raise this child, so I can love this friend, so I can be kind to this coworker, so I can let Your truth flow through my lips so this person comes to understand their need for a Savior. God has to do it. The power of God flows when the presence of God is at work in our lives. Thirdly, I'd like you to notice that the Holy Spirit comes not just to bring the presence of God and the power of God, but He comes with a promise. He comes with a promise. A promise about our future. The verse we've read twice now, once as a call to worship and then again for the children, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. Listen to the promise as this ends. Listen for the promise. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us. He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Have you thought about what comes next? Have you thought about what's around the corner? Have you thought about breathing your last breath and then wondering what's next? Facebook is kind of an amazing thing at times. These last few days, my siblings and I have put different pictures of my mom on, and different relatives and friends have commented. There was a cousin who commented and said, basically, it's amazing that you are handling this so well. Because each of my siblings and I put something on there about how we're celebrating my mom's entrance into eternal glory. I thought, why did that cousin have amazement at our being able to be joyous at our mom's passing? What enables a Christian to be joyous when someone passes? The only thing is a certainty of the promise of God of eternal life and eternal glory and eternal enjoyment of the presence of Christ. I'm celebrating that my mom is not suffering, but that she is rejoicing. And I know it's a certainty because of the promise of God. The Spirit is given as a guarantee of what is to come. Now, I know my cousin has struggled and chased after other worldviews and false concepts and other religions. They don't offer confidence. They don't offer promises. They don't have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of what's to come. Only in Christ and His work on the cross for us and His done transaction for us can we then enter into an eternal life with Christ that is a certainty, that is an absolute done deal. I am 100% confident where my mother is. And each of us can have that same confidence about what's going to happen after we breathe our last breath. That's brought about by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He is the seal. He is the anointing. He is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. It's a fascinating word there. As I was doing some reading on different things about it, it's similar in concept to the Old Testament principle of the first fruits. When a harvest was begun, the farmers were instructed to take the first bushel of the brought in grain and give that to God as an offering. It was the first fruit that was harvested. And then the scripture uses that concept to say, we receive the Spirit as the first fruits. The first bit of the harvest. There's more harvest to come. But we celebrate the first little fruits of it. We get to have the enjoyment of the first bit first. But then there's another way that this word is used. This word is used to signify an engagement ring. The Spirit of God is an engagement ring. I was hoping I'd see someone in the room with an engagement ring on and eventually realize, yeah, we're gonna accomplish that today. So I have to walk way to the back and find Carrie and reach down and grab her hand. Why don't you stand up a little bit? And this on your wrist or on your finger, it's beautiful. Well done, by the way, there, picking that one out. And it sparkles, it's got diamonds, a whole bunch of diamonds, and a big one in the middle. What is that? That's a pledge. That's a promise. That's something Levi gave to Carrie to say, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to make you mine. I'm claiming you. I'm marking you as belonging to me. Everyone else, stay away. And God has a pledge like that for you and for me. Thank you. It's His Spirit. It's not a ring that could ever be taken off. And it's even better than a band around a baby's wrist. That guarantee is the very presence of God Himself living inside of us. That's God saying, you're mine. I'm marking you. I'm claiming you. You belong to me now. And when God puts His ring on you, when God puts His band on you, when God puts His seal on you, when God anoints you, it is a deposit in you of what's to come. And it is a deposit of all the glory of heaven, of all the grandeur of being in the very presence of Christ. What we taste is but a foretaste, it's but a first fruits of something so wonderful that it should make us salivate and long for its coming. That's the work of the Spirit, to give us that joy in Him, that confidence in Him. The Spirit is an anointing. The Spirit is a seal. The Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and bring the presence of Christ into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring the power of Christ into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring the promise of Christ into our life. The promise of His salvific work in us, of His sanctifying work in us, but most importantly, of His glorifying of us. That one day these earthly bodies will be redeemed and made into the very image of the body of Christ. We don't have to worry about decay We don't have to worry about disease. We don't have to worry about what happens after we breathe our last breath, because you have promised us and given us this guarantee of what's to come. And it's of being with you forever. So we celebrate your Spirit's work in us this morning. We say yes. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. Come and bring the presence. Come and bring the power. Come and bring the promises. We say yes to all of them. We say yes and amen to all the promises of Christ. In Jesus' holy name, amen.